Indeed found by God's grace. And in the passage that Phil and I will both be speaking on today from John chapter 17. If you want to be turning to John chapter 17, please do so. This whole chapter is a part of the high priestly prayer. And we're going to focus on the second part of that prayer, which are in verses 6 through 19. I'm going to take the first couple of those verses to get us started. But the important point is that God's grace found those disciples. And it was through Jesus and the message that Jesus gave to them and imparted to them, and that they received and that they believed, that has made all the difference. You see, Jesus prayed for his disciples. And he begins in verse 6, if you would like to turn to John chapter 17. He begins in verse 6 by giving thanks. Giving thanks to God his Father for giving him these disciples that he could pour into them. So let's look at John 17, verses 6 through 8. I have revealed your name to the people. You gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. The disciples have kept the word that they have received about God from Jesus. Now they know that everything you have given is from you. They now know, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came for you and from you. That was the purpose of Jesus' ministry. That was the purpose of the disciples. That was the role that they would fulfill. And they have believed that you sent me. Powerful, powerful prayer of thanks. Now, Phil will talk more in a few minutes about the details of that prayer. But I want to focus on this point of the disciples have received the words. They have received the words, and that they know that Jesus came from God. And they believe it. And because they believed it, they went on. They continued to teach. We know about it through the book of Acts. We know about it through the ministry of Paul and later through the letters of Peter and James and all the other writings of the New Testament. They continued to tell that message that they had received. We are sitting here today at homecoming, coming back together to celebrate our ties to Berea Baptist Church because we have received that message of good news as well. Someone took the time or some occasion that we could meet Jesus face to face and that we could know and that we could believe. And that's so important. But that's not all. That's not the whole story. So I want to tell another story that's very linked into this. It will also make the prayer that Phil will be talking about even more significant. I'm going to ask if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The church, Jesus, during his ministry, had many different followers. We also know that some of them continued to follow him, but others did what? They dropped away. Many followed, but others dropped away. They didn't continue. They fell away. We also see this in the early church. And this is the reason for looking at Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard, so that we may not drift away. We're drifters. We really are. We drift in and out, just like the tide. And too often we drift in and out in our relationship with God, in our commitment to Christ, our commitment to live that life which is Christ-like. We can drift. For if the message spoken through the angels was legally binding, verse 2, and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That salvation that comes from Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, forgiveness of sins, love, conquering of death, eternal life. All of that is part of what Jesus was trying to share with us about God's unconditional love and his love for each one of us. This salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. That's why Jesus was praying for his disciples. That's why Jesus was giving thanks in that prayer in John, because of that very fact. And we continue that today. And little children this morning proclaim the gospel to each one of us. Powerful. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders, various miracles, and the distribution of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. We live in a world that's very rational. We live in a world that can't understand the supernatural. We live in a world that thinks you can predict everything. How's that working out? Not too good, is it? It's very, very different. You see, God still gives us signs. God still works wonders in our lives. He continues to transform us. We continue to witness miracles. I know that miracles exist. And there are miracles in this congregation right now. There are miracles, and we know it. And we have gifts of the Spirit. The Bible talks about gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have them. Don't be afraid of them. Allow God to work through you with whatever gifts he has given you. You see, it's important that we continue to proclaim. Just as there was some falling away then, there's falling away today. Now, I want to share with you two statistics, and then I'm not going to do any more numbers. But these are two that you really, really want to take serious, all of us. Berea Baptist Church, in all of our churches, in all the denominations, face a real crisis right now. And it is real. New study just came out within the last month. It's called the De-Churching of America. And it's real. You see, in the past 25 years, I'm not talking about persons that don't know Jesus. Okay? With this statistic. In the past 25 years, 40 million people who were part of the church have simply stopped coming. Let that sink in. It crosses all denominations. It crosses all age groups. It crosses all racial and ethnic groups. It crosses all regions of the country. It's pervasive. In 2019, Lifeway, which is affiliated with the Southern Baptist, gave a statistic that 3,000 new churches had been planted. But the other side of the story is 4,500 churches closed their doors. Now more than half of all adults do not attend church. 30 years ago, those numbers were like 70% attended. There has been a falling away. We are experiencing a de-churching. But it's not over, because we are still what? Here. We have a message to proclaim. We need to move beyond the things that divide us and move toward the grace and the mercy and the love that Jesus taught us about. We need to live godly lives. We're inconsistent, aren't we? Catch us on a good day and our light shines. Catch us on a bad day and it's like Christmas vacation and that little light ain't twinkling. Right? It's true. It's true. And we have to learn to listen, to really hear what people are saying to us, to really listen, to be kind, to be gentle, but to still proclaim what? The truth of the message. There's so much out there, and it's so easy to get at it. People are so polarized. We're polarized politically. We're polarized culturally. We're polarized religiously. But we're to be what? One in Christ. One in Christ. So I want to leave with that somber note. We know now why Jesus is praying for the disciples. Because we also now are what? His disciples. May we keep on pushing on. May we continue to let our lights shine. And may we be encouraged by these words from Paul and then an old gospel hymn that I want to share, and then I'll conclude. For through faith, we are all sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. May I also say right or left? For we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And then, as the old gospel hymn, used to sing this as a missionary hymn. You remember the song, "In Christ There Is No East or West"? It applies right now to where we are as a people. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no north or south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In Christ shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. His service is the golden cord binding all people. May we focus on being Christ-like and sharing Christ with a world that so desperately needs to hear about him.
Thank you. Nobody has ever clapped for me coming up here before. I appreciate that. I want to apologize that Chum forgot the pickles this morning. And if you show up on Wednesday for lunch, I'll have some pickles, okay? So nonetheless, picking up where Robbie left off, I mean, he knows more about what I'm going to say than I do. Verse 9, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. All my things are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except for the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world. As I am in the world, I am not praying for that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so they may be sanctified by the truth. You know, this can be a little confusing. The little gospel, for God so loved the world. And here we hear Jesus telling us that he's not even praying for the world. Thank goodness that he's praying for us. That's got to feel good. That Jesus right now is praying for us. For those that have put their trust in Jesus, he is praying for us right now. You know, what does Jesus know and when does he know it? This is a classic hard question that we wrestle with. And this text right here is the go-to text, that we are to be in the world but not of the world. And how in the world can we be in the world and not of the world? And Paul says to be transformed. Our minds are to be transformed by the gospel, and we're not to conform to the patterns of the world. How can we be in the world and not of the world? What are we communicating? We're called to be one. Wow. We as a church, not just Berea, but the entire church, we're called to be one, just as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Boy, that's hard. Thank goodness Jesus is praying for us, and that we have been given the power of the gospel. But what are we saying to the world? What are we saying to the world? Are we clear about Christ crucified? I got some butter beans over there just waiting. I mean, they're waiting. And I'm hungry too. And we're going to get out of here in just a minute. But what are we saying? I got a neighbor. I call him Brunswick Bill. Okay? I call him Brunswick Bill because my neighbor Bill gave me some Brunswick stew the day we started breaking ground at the property. So I called him Brunswick Bill. He knows I call him Brunswick Bill. Brunswick Bill and I, we had a conversation one day by the apple tree. And he started talking about butter beans and how much he loved butter beans. And man, you talk about an instant friendship. Anybody who loves butter beans is a friend of mine. All right? Now, I gave Bill some butter beans. Bill's moving. He's going to Tennessee to be with his grandkids. So he's packing up. He's downsizing. He's trying to sell his whole farm, like just one working farm. And I gave him some butter beans. And I talked to Bill a little bit later. He goes, well, I ran into a little problem. I only have one fork, one knife, one spoon, one plate, and I don't even have a pot, but I just got a frying pan. And if you know how to cook butter beans, you don't cook them in a frying pan. You know what he did? He sauteed them. He felt like he was breaking the laws of butter beans when he told me this story, and he apologized. And he just begged for forgiveness. And so, you know, it's a good story, right? So I go home and I tell Gwendolyn the story. And we got in an argument. And that argument lasted for 15 or 20 minutes. And we ended up laughing. You know why? Because she wanted to know, who in the heck is Tatum? I saw Tatum. I saw Tatum. Yeah. You got a little twang there. You saw Tatum. What are we saying to the world? Are we clear about our message that God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son? Are we crystal clear in our communication of Christ crucified? Are we acting like a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites, or are we separated from the world and we're holy, holy sinners saved by grace? Take your pick. You could either be a holy sinner saved by grace, or you could be a self-righteous hypocrite. Trust and obey. It's time to play the song of dedication.